This is straight out of Crumpton with your host, Greg Crumpton.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Straight Out of Crumpton. I'm Greg Crumpton, coming to you today on a kind of overcast but beautiful fall Friday the 13th, actually, Cole. So we are having a guest today that I really think you guys are going to enjoy. I have got to know this fellow over the last handful of years. I can't remember how many years, but a few years now. And I'm just really proud to call the man a friend and a coworker and just an all-around good person that I thought y'all might enjoy talking or hearing from anyway. Without further ado, welcome Cole Stewart to the program. Cole, good afternoon to you, brother.
Hey, Craig, how are you today?
I'm doing good, obviously, except for a few mental burps here and there. I can't complain one little bit. So before we get going, man, I got so much I want to talk to you about. But before we kick off, tell the crowd here a little bit about you, your name, what you do, why you do it. You are the operations and safety manager for Gentry Service in Asheville, North Carolina. I should add that. So we get to work together. But tell us a little bit about Cole.
Okay, well, my name's Cole Stewart. I was born and raised here in Asheville, North Carolina. I've got 28 years of experience in the HVAC industry, mostly residential and light commercial. You know, I've only had two jobs my entire adult life. It's been in HVAC the whole time. And, you know, when I was younger, I just decided that, you know, the HVAC industry just has so much to offer because we're learning plumbing, electrical, low voltage, framing, you know, sheet metal fabrication. This, you know, was when I was a younger man, it was just real intriguing to me to learn all that. Made me feel like I was a more well-rounded tradesman.
Well, you certainly have touched a lot of folks and a lot of people and a lot of jobs and a lot of everything. You know, I think about people and I think about training and relationships and how you get to where you are. Give us a little backstory. How in the world did you get into air conditioning? And I find it really not only fascinating, but a proud moment that you've only had two jobs. I think that says so much about you and your drive and your discipline. But tell us a little how you got going and maybe some of the people that have influenced you up to this point in your life.
Well, I graduated high school in 1995 and, you know, was doing some odd and end jobs at the beginning of that summer. And my uncle was in the HVAC industry on a much smaller company, about 12 people. And he brought me on and gave me a chance in the industry. And one thing that sticks out in my head, I remember telling him we was working together. And I said, Uncle Cecil, his name's Cecil. I said, you know what? I'm still going to be around in here when you're not working no more. So he's retired now. So he was a real big influence on me. A guy named David Messer was another good influence on me. You know, he really taught me a lot about sheet metal and fabricate. You know, I was blessed with him to build several race cars in one day. So you get into the wiring of a car, it gets pretty complicated. That was, and then in 2012, Dwayne Gentry asked me to come be a part of his team, and that really just took me to the next level. You know, I was pretty good in the field, but, you know, as far as business mind sense and learning the other operations that it takes to just run a company, he really did take me to the next level on that. He taught me a lot as far as what happens on the back end that a lot of people don't see.
That is well said. And for you, you folks who don't know, Gentry Heating was like the premier company in Asheville, North Carolina for many, many years and still right up there at the top of the game. And Service Logic, where I work, my day job, we bought Gentry, I don't know, Cole, what, 5 or 6 years ago, something like that?
2018.
And just to be around the people that Dwayne brought there that are still there, like Cole, man, what a great group. And I just really enjoy getting to interact with you guys when I come up. But solid background. You know, you mentioned something, race cars. Most people have probably never, they probably have seen a race car or watched a race, but never got inside one to see the complexities of it. I think that where my mind goes is how remarkable it is that an HVAC craftsperson can work on darn near anything once you understand the basics of metallurgy, sheet metal, wiring, the basics that make up an HVAC trade also go into many, many other trades. And I think what you said with you and David working together on the cars was an example of that, because craftsmanship is craftsmanship regardless of where you apply it. What do you think about it?
I believe that's true. That's what I like. Because, if you're building a race car, there's a lot of safety goes into it too, not just engineering and performance. I think that portion of my life when I did that really helped me grow. And, like I said, when you're in this mechanical trade, it just makes you just a well-rounded person. It's like I'm teaching my guys here where I'm at now, to where they can go take care of their home. They don't have to sit around and call somebody and wait for somebody to come do some sheetrock work or electrical need to, repair or something, or some framing.
Well, as much as I love all the skilled trades, I am partial to the HVAC world, as you know, because I feel like we're good electricians, we're fairly good plumbers, we're good pipe fitters, because you have to know all that to really get into the nuts and bolts of what we do. And I'm sure some welder's going to slap me in the head with a 7018 welder rod when they see me for saying that. But it's just a great model. So, Cole, like I do, that we don't have enough skilled people in the world to fulfill our needs, from a company standpoint, let alone the industry. How are you helping that along? What are you doing to make sure that we're building a workforce for the future?
Well, what we do here at Gentry, we are reaching out to the local colleges. We start with them, and then, we're always looking to get the fresh new people in here that don't really have they don't know the understanding of it, but, we start off with interviewing them and teaching them that, that, hey, we're going to teach you something that's going to take care of you the rest of your life. Like I said, not only providing a comfort for somebody, but you're going to be able to take care of your family. You're going to be able to take care of your household, and you're most likely going to be able to take care of your family members. We try to incentivize people pretty heavily. I feel like we're one of the top paying companies in Western North Carolina. We try to set ourselves apart like that, not only as pay, but, with the benefit package and, the training that comes along and, the safety training that comes along, we try to, really boost that up. So we make them feel, we want them to feel like family. We don't want them to feel like they're just an employee.
Well, the folks that I know that work with you do feel that camaraderie and that pull. Families are different. Every family's different. What's fun to me is when I get to travel around to the different companies and meet different people, it's always fun to see the dynamics of an office. And you guys have a really, I love the dynamic y'all have, because you're in the mountains in a beautiful setting, and it just seems so natural, and the people are so accommodating. And I know you get to see all sides of them, but I guess mainly I get to see the nice sides. But it sure is a joy to come up there and hang out with y'all just because of the vibe of the office. It just seems good.
It is. I tell you what, I'm very blessed, Greg, to work with this office staff and the leadership team. They are great. We kind of all have the same beliefs as far as, not only things, how things should be done, but, we all have our same Christian beliefs, and, we want to do well, try it the first time.
What a novel idea. Good stuff. Well, I'm always looking, to see what people are doing that is working on incentivizing young people to come into the trades. And I'm curious, what are you finding that is appealing to young people when you interview them? What are people that you look at that you're looking for that are thinking about a career in HVAC? What are some of the things they're asking as far as their, I won't say a list of demands, but list of wishes? What are they hoping for in an employer? What are you hearing?
The biggest thing we get asked about is, what kind of training do we provide?
Yeah.
I'm sure, and I don't know if the people that are listening to this podcast know about the Edge Academy, but we've really been using that a lot. And, so we have access. There it is right there. So, we have that. And then, we have weekly training with our field staff for once an hour every week, that's what they want. Because most of them, the people that are coming in here are hungry to learn. They just want to know, are we going to teach them right? And that's one thing we do is let's say, hey, we're not going to just throw you out there and expect you to just go out there and go to work. We're going to set you up for success.
You know, you hear a lot of people talking about what incentivizes people, pay and time off and all that stuff. I'm finding the more people I talk to, like you, as well as the younger generation, Gen Z, that having a roadmap and having a career path, not just a job, really ranks up there at the top of the list. Yes, you've got to provide fair pay. Yes, you've got to provide benefits of some variety. That's kind of the price of admission, but they're really the ones that I've been able to speak to are really looking for what's next for me. If I start with your company or one of your companies or in the business in general, what do I get to look forward to? And a funny thing, I've been helping this young man who is just beginning his career in HVAC. And we've had a couple of meetings, and he's now working for a local company here in Greenville. He's going to tech school. He sent me a text message this week, and we've been talking about getting together for lunch for a couple of weeks just to kind of do a catch up now that he started school and what have you. He sends me a text and says, "If we have lunch this Saturday, if you can't do lunch, maybe a phone call. I want to strategize with you." I just thought that was so cool that here's a young buck, and he's been working now for 3 or 4 months, I guess, 2 months maybe, full time, going to school at night. And here he is thinking about, thinking ahead, not just thinking about Monday. And I really love that. And this is how this young man is. He's a thinking's man, man. So I'm excited to hear what he's thinking about, just because he's out there, he's in the mix. He's making his life, getting it started. So I'm excited for the youngster to hear what he, now I might not be excited after, we have lunch or talk, but I think you like me, like most people that are listening, all your life you've heard, the damn young generation, what's wrong with them? Well, we were all that young generation at one point, but there's so many good youngsters out there that just need a little bit of a lead or a hand to get started. I think that, and we've talked about this before on this show more than one time, about the lack of exposure to the trades in high school like there used to be. Some young folks just don't know what is out there until you show them, That's why I was kind of curious what you were hearing.
That's kind of what we're seeing. I don't like how you worded it, the roadmap. Of course, you got your onesie twosie. It's all about money. They don't care about benefits and what, but the ones that really come in that are serious, because you know as well as I do, it's a pretty big investment to onboard somebody. And what I like to call now, I like to call it integration, because we're integrating them to our Gentry family. We're not just onboarding them.
I like what you just said too. I think that's a great way of looking at it.
So, I think, but the ones that I can tell, because if you're like a good old dog, that stomach usually gives you a good feeling. They need that roadmap. They really appreciate that roadmap. Because, we at Gentry here, if you're green and you want to start off as an apprentice, you can go all the way to a master chiller tech. We don't want to just keep you in residential, but that's usually where we try to start you at, is in the residential side. And, you can move all the way to the top. And then once you get a little bit more invested in it, then, you can move into management.
Having that, I think, is important. All right. So when you're not gentrying, I understand you like to shoot weapons at a gun club. Is that true? Would that be an accurate statement?
That would be an accurate statement. That's a good statement. I mean, I don't like to shoot clays.
Tell us a little bit about that. What gets you on? What kind of got you going on the clay and the sporting clay for hobby?
Well, me and my buddies was going to go on a quail hunting trip, because I do like the woods, I like to be outdoors. And what better way to practice? And then so we started shooting at the local club here, which is at the Biltmore Estate. You get there and you get that camaraderie of all the guys, because everybody's there doing the same thing. And you get to talk about, well, look at this weapon and look at it. Because if you start getting in the clay target guns, it really blew my mind where the dollar value can go with them things.
Straight up, right?
You can buy a car, you can buy a truck for what some of them cost. But it's just good camaraderie, good friends. And then when you're having when you want to let some steam off, it's pretty fun to burn some powder at a very reasonable price,
Well, I heard a story about this guy that went with you one time, and after he got through shooting, his shoulder was black and blue for like 2 weeks. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of that. I've heard of that. I've heard of
I won't
it.
say who that was, but his name might be Greg Crumpton. So.
Well, I've got a couple of the camaraderie buddies that's happened to, especially, with that particular device that you was using is a light gun. It's short. So, my gun I've got weighs about 11 pounds. So, it really helps on the recoil of it. So that one I've got, I can probably shoot over 200 rounds and be fine with it.
I think when I shot with you guys out there, that was probably the first full course I'd ever been through. I've done a lot of like clay shooting just out in the field, but not working around a designated course. And I've done it on cruise ships too. That's pretty fun. But that was my first going. I mean, it's kind of like a golf course, you go to different stations. And I see a lot of people doing that now versus, what you might have saw 10 years ago.
Yeah, you do. A lot of people enjoy, 'cause that's what we consider. You're going to almost essentially be like a golf tournament, but you're doing it with shotgun shells and clays instead of a club and a white ball.
Yeah, I'm no good at the golf. I do enjoy a good round of fishing. I haven't done that in a while, and I'm kind of hankering to go back to Costa Rica. My neighbor over here, he's going back next month, so he's kind of rubbing that in my face. But Cole, when you think about stuff outside of work, I think of stuff like that. Go to church, have Sunday school. We had a thing Wednesday night at our church where it was kind of like an open dinner, and they did hamburgers, hot dogs, and what have you. But getting together with people that you want to be with is good for the human mind, I've found as I've gotten older. When I was younger, I'm not sure how you were, but when I was younger, I was much more of a loner. I kind of felt like I wanted to do stuff by myself. I don't know why, but maybe it's just immaturity. But I have grown to appreciate being around like-minded people, whether that be at church or whether that be fishing or whether that be out there with you kicking my butt in the sporting clays or what have you. But I don't know. Maybe at 60 years old, I'm beginning to mature a bit.
Well, I think I agree with you. I felt like I was a little bit the same way when I was younger. Like I've got to do it myself. I got to do it myself. But as I get older too, I find that not my work family is important to me. We can all lean on each other. My church family is important, and we can all lean on each other. Then, I've got my immediate family that we can all lean on. So I agree with you. Having these families is what they're not really just co-workers or they're people you go to church with. They're family or our family.
Yeah. When I had my company, I kind of had that, I had that circle, and I was with these folks every day for 15 years or so with the same core team, for the most part. And then once the business sold and I kind of got immersed into a bigger corporate entity, I kind of pulled back a little bit, I think, because I wasn't involved in that company day to day, but I kind of feel like I'm getting that enjoyment back to be in. Now, don't get me wrong, I still like to be a hermit from time to time, as my wife will tell you. I'm like, I like to have a long time and think. I don't know if other people do, but I can drive 3 hours to go to Charleston, South Carolina, and get there and realize I never even cut the radio on. I'm just enjoying the quiet time or thinking time or whatever. And I don't know, it's just different to think about different phases of your life and how your personality kind of ebbs and flows. And I don't know, it's an interesting work in progress is what I'll say.
It is. And I feel like, you need that time. I know I take time just to sit there and think and be quiet and, go through the motions in my head. 'Cause, if I have the stereo on or the TV on or, you can't, I can't, I'm not thinking very clearly. I feel like I'm not finishing through the thought process. And then I'm leaving things undone and open.
Well, you and I are both dealing with parents that are aging, your mom and my in-laws, Connie's parents. I find that that makes me think differently about a lot of stuff. And it also makes me take a little bit more time to appreciate where I'm at from a mental, just thinking capacity, memory is important, and mobility. I've really worked now not to take those things for granted, because I don't know about you, but if you've been immobilized lately, a foot, knee, ankle, hip, whatever, where you can't move or can't walk, man, that'll get you. That'll kind of mess with your head a little bit.
Oh, it will. You will. Because, you know, me and you're doers. You know, we're like, you know, when we've got our mindset to go and do something, we can't do it. You know, it's hard mentally. And then, you know, the physical aspect of it, when you can't move like you used to, then you start losing muscle movement and you know, start getting weaker.
Which those endorphins of moving help keep you regulated as well mentally. You know, you and I, we work together on safety for the company. And one thing that I guess it was two or three safety summits ago when we were talking about getting return to work and how getting people back to work was so much better for them mentally, and then they healed better physically. I'm sure there's exceptions to all that, but it was amazing to me how much the activity of the brain helped the body get back to where it needed to be quicker.
Yeah, I think, you know, because it still gives them a purpose. Most people wake up every day and want to do something. They want to do something good, you know. So, you know, we have a no lost time incident here at Gentry, and, you know, depending on what the restrictions are, you know, we're going to find you something to make you feel like you've accomplished something during the day.
Have you done the, I can't remember what the name of the program is, but like if you're on workman's comp, you could, as Cole, you could get somebody to go to Goodwill or go to one of the volunteer agencies while they're getting their workman's comp pay. Have you done that, participated in that?
We have not done that here, so we usually depend on their, you know, we've been blessed. Our injuries have not been so bad that they right. could, you know, help out in the field, because a lot of times we can still use their knowledge.
Yeah.
And take their knowledge and have the apprentice out there kind of doing more of the labor while, you know, you have the other person using their knowledge. But we've always got something to do. Usually just to kind of give you a scenario of the past two guys I've had that had to have rotator cuff surgery. Well, you know, these are pretty smart service techs, you know, and so we brought them in and they help the departments, you know, locate parts, quote parts, you know, because they know the lingo. You know, it takes a while to learn the HVAC lingo, I've heard. That's what we've been doing here, is having them help that. And then, you know, just like I said, we work within whatever their limitations are.
Well, I think to the point of keeping people active and giving them something to do is cool. And I know Brian up at Piedmont, he's done that where they go to Goodwill or they go to the blood bank or somewhere and work. You know, you brought up something right then that I had a conversation earlier today about the number of people retiring from the HVAC, specifically on the service side. How are you capturing the knowledge that's retiring? And, you know, there's so much tribal knowledge. We're retiring three people for every new person we bring in. So how are we, first of all, I don't know how we sleep at night not doing this, but what are your thoughts around capturing knowledge before people retire? And sucking that knowledge out of them, or giving them somewhere to put it. What's your thoughts on that? Or have you been down that happy trail yet?
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been lucky here. You know, we've had a couple of people retire, but they was not been replaced. But you know, we've had a lot of knowledge that just come. There's a lot of knowledge. I need to add it up one day and email you to see how many years of experience that really here at Gentry, you know, a lot of the guys that have retired from Gentry that I've been a part of have stayed on and helped with their knowledge and made sure that we was good before they decide to step out the door. And of course, you know, everything we do here, we're working on processes and documentation of knowledge and storing it on our public drive. So, you know, if Cole's not able to answer the phone and I'm in Guatemala, we can extract this information out of the computer.
Well, I think we got to figure that out quicker as an industry. I was thinking about today of how you can do that. And my initial thought for a company, say a company your size, would be to have the experienced guys give a class and record it. and make that recording searchable so that when somebody was looking for a problem with a Carrier 48DJD007 gas pack, if you could have the classes have keywords put into presentation and then make that video/audio searchable, I think that might be one way to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what we have been doing. So we have a futures leaders team here that we start every year with Terry Evans. So we take the guys, you know, you have to sign up for this class and then you've got to be accepted into it. So that's part of their future leaders that they're working on. And that what's what we're doing is they're recording the training. And then Gentry has their own YouTube page. And we're just uploading that right into the YouTube page. But, you know, we've got to get the content. There's a, you know, we've probably got 10 videos in there so far, but we, you know, I'd like to see that content be well up in the hundreds.
Well, every company should do one a week with as many people as we have collectively, which are what, 7,200 people at our company now. We could really do a good job of collecting more data than we're doing, our information and skills for sure. All right. So a lot of people may be sitting there and say, did he just say Guatemala? And then I would say, yeah, he did say Guatemala. So tell us about Guatemala, other than you got a cool hat from there.
All right. So I've been on 3 tours to Guatemala. You know, we go down there and work in a little town called Santa Maria de Jesus. And we go down there and provide housing and clothing and bedding and stuff for these families down there. When you get to the outskirts of Guatemala, it's you know, it's a lot different than what we're used to. You know, the women are still carrying water from the center of town. You know, they're using outhouses still. I like to use this analogy because the very first time I went, there was 20 of them staying in a 10 by 20 room. Now, you got to remember, to them, this 10 corrugated metal walls with a roof, dirt floor. So you remember the old saying, mom, say go outside, don't come back in until it's dark.
Yeah.
That's a real thing down there.
That's where it came from, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a real thing. I'll never forget. We went to the dollar store and just got the bouncy balls, and you would have thought we gave them kids a cell phone.
Wow.
It just tickled them to death. And I'm blessed. I'm getting ready. I'm going to be able to go again this year in October and do the same thing. So
is that through your local church, or how are y'all doing that?
Well, we used to do it through the company would provide half of it, and then we would pay the other half. And as an employee, so that's how I was able to go the first couple of years. But I was approached this year by Dwayne Gentry and asked me if I wanted to be a part of his team going down there. So I told him I'd like to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's for the price and the humbleness that it brings you. I mean, $1,400 sounds like a lot of money, but for 7 days, you know, that's your airplane fare, your room and board, your food. It's just, it makes me feel pretty good when I come back home and think about how we touch their heart. Because, you know, our whole goal down there is not only to go down there and provide these a more of a comfortable place to live, because, you know, we're doing water filtration and stuff for them and things like that. But, you know, when you can go share to somebody about the Savior, you know, that's pretty big. It's pretty impacting on your life when you can see how that affects other people. Because, you know, you go down there, they ain't even never heard, they don't even know nothing about Jesus.
That's wild to believe at this day and age. I'm fortunate. I've been to Guatemala as well. I think you and I talked about it one time. I was down there on a totally different thing. We were installing air conditioning that was left over from jobs we would do here, take out a piece of equipment that was still running, refurbish it, and then we would ship it down there. And we were air conditioning neonatal hospitals. So that you could dehumidify the hospital room and keep the infection rate down, because they proved that if you could keep the infection rate down, obviously your chance of survival of the babies went really way up. So we did that for several years, and I got to go down there one time on one of those trips, and man, it was amazing. You know, people aside, just the natural beauty of that country, to me, I was in the Tikal National Forest, where they have the Mayan ruins, the pyramids. I mean, it's just a phenomenal country that is so scarcely populated that when you're up there in the rainforest, you can go a long time before you ever see another human. So it's a very desolate country.
It's a pretty cool place, like you said, Greg, to go through there and see some of the older buildings that have been there from somewhere around the 1700s that are still standing, and just think about the going seeing the Mayan ruins and stuff. So it's definitely a cool place. I mean, I don't know anywhere else. I'm sure there's other places in country go, but we went to a volcano down there, and literally you can walk right up to the rim of it.
Well, I was going to say, what's amazing to me about that country versus our country, we've got signs and guardrails and watchdogs and orange cones and ropes and everything else to protect ourselves because we're so stupid as Americans. Down there, I mean, I'm climbing literally, physically on a pyramid that was dated 4 AD. And I mean, there's nobody there like telling you get off that, or whatever. I mean, it's like it's there to be used almost, for lack of a better word. Explored anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why that stuff's still around, is for people that are intrigued by it to touch it and feel it and check it out.
Well, I got introduced to going there through a guy. His name was Dr. Francis Robicek. And Dr. Robicek was one of the first, if not the first, to do a heart transplant in the United States. And he was a Hungarian guy. He's deceased now. He died, I want to say, in 18 or 19. But this guy was super to talk to. And he was the one that was kind of running the foundation that did this neonatal air conditioning program. But he, while I was there at his office talking to him about the program, he gave me a book. I've still got it up here on my shelf that he wrote about the Mayan ruins. So he said, if you're going, you got to go to Tikal National Forest. So he's the one that kind of took me from the medical mission trip to going to see the ruins. And so glad he did, man. It was, I wrote not too long ago about sleeping in an open air thatch hut in the middle of the jungle, hearing a howler monkey, and about jumped out of my dang skin at 3 a.m. when that monkey decided to scream. I thought I didn't know what was going on, but incredible stuff.
Yeah, it is. I if you stayed out in the jungle like that, I got to give you some big kudos, because it's not like being in these mountains where I live at, where you might have to deal with a bear or a snake or a deer. There's some I'd say there's some pretty decent wildlife down there.
It was fun. Fun place to go. So, all right. So, tell me, when Cole Stewart sits on the front porch and has a thought or two, what's on the horizon? What are you into? What are you thinking about these days?
When I'm not thinking about HVAC work, I'm thinking right now about, of course, dealing with parents and stuff like that, but trying to get that next thing, what I'm thinking about doing as a hobby. And so my next hobby I want to do is I'm going to get into autocross.
Autocross.
For people who don't know about autocross,
All right, tell us what it is.
that's where you go to a car show. Usually there's a car show involved, and they usually have drag racing, but they have this big flat area set up where you've got to take a car and you get time track to see how quick you can get through this course that's set up with cones. I've got my eyes set on some things. I ain't quite decided which way I want to go, because I want to be unique too, because everybody's got a Miata. Everybody's got a C10 Chevrolet that they're using, or a little Fox body Mustang. I ain't decided what I'm going to do yet, Craig, but
Okay, I've got it right here. You ready? AMC Pacer.
Hey, that might be the ticket. If I can just set the suspension upright, get the gearing right.
I had a friend in high school that his parents made him drive a Pacer. That was the ugliest car ever built, I think. But
Yeah.
I could see you sporting around in that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be scared to have a good paint job on that thing, but so think about that, and then just thinking of I've got to think about the parent and where she's at, and I'm just trying to make sure that I'm mentally and physically and financially where I want to be at to do what I need to do. I actually had some good conversations with my president here at Gentry, and he really changed the way I thought about some things that I need to do. So I've been thinking about that and reaching out to places and looking stuff. Because, you know, if she's sitting at home all the time, that's not healthy either. If she's in a place where things are more like she is, she's going to have activities every day. She's going to get interaction every day. You know, so because I wasn't thinking that at the first. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to make sure she's going to stay right there in that house.
As we get at these various stages of our lives, you really have to think, it's not an easy decision of when to do something, of how to do it. Make sure that they're both physically, mentally, you know, taken care of. Still make it close where you can get there when you want to. There's a lot of variables into handling the aging parent, you know, properly. And both of my parents are deceased, but like I said, Connie's parents, you know, like a lot of us, we're going through it, you know, and then there's no playbook, you know, there's no right way to do it because every child-parent relationship's a little bit different. Two parents, one parent, one with all their mental capacities, one not, you know, you got all kinds of variables that you really have to think about and, you know, man, it is not cheap to do. And you have to think about, I don't want to say it's sad, but it makes you really prioritize what's important.
It does. And I tell you what I've learned out of this, Greg, what I've learned out of this is I don't want my son to have to go through this.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm putting things in place to where all he has to do is grieve.
Yeah.
You don't have to make any decisions or just, you know, you don't have to worry about what music needs to be played or.
Well, I suspect that the more of us that go through this helping parents, the more people who are going to do more upfront planning just for that sake. You know, when you lose somebody, good Lord, it's hard enough. And, you know, having to do anything in a hurry, you know, never is probably the best way to do it. So, all right. So it's fall, it's football season, deer hunting season. What's on the tap for you? Which one of those or all of the above?
Well, you know, we're going to watch a little college ball.
No,
I'd rather watch a little bit of pro ball, but I'd rather watch the college ball. You know, if y'all don't mind me saying, I am a Clemson person, so hope I don't offend anybody.
You would fit right in on this street that I'm overlooking.
I bet so. I've got two deer hunting trips planned down in Whitmire, South Carolina, which ain't too far from you, and then that's going to be about it. We're planning on, I feel like this winter is going to be a little different than we've had in the past couple of years. We've not had a real bad winter. So, you know, we're getting ready for that and figuring out ways to make sure I can keep my field people armed and, you know.
Are you anticipating a stout winter, cold winter?
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be that. And then, you know, with the stuff that we've got going on with A2L, I feel like there's going to be some shortages going on.
We're talking about A2L refrigerants now back on the HVAC game.
Yeah. So we're thinking about being vigilant about that and stocking some stuff so we can take care of a customer's needs when it arises.
So here's a question for you, Cole. Being in the mountains and dealing with slick road conditions more so than a lot of people have to deal with, what's the deciding factor of when to roll a truck and when to say, no, we can't come?
So our deciding factor for us, so we got some four-wheel drives in our fleet. We've got four of them, so we give them to a service techs. So they get the four-wheel drive, so we're going to got on no heat-only calls. And then far as, like, change-outs or anything like that, you know, if it's a little elderly person that don't have any heat, then we're going to take one of them four-wheel drive trucks and go at least put a furnace in or air handler. At least get them some type of heat. Now, you know as well as I do, if it gets up over about 12 inches of snow, it's hard for anything to go in. You know, I mean, you about need one of them. You need tracks at that point, not round tires.
What is y'all's annual, you know, what's a normal winter look like for you snow-wise? Do y'all have a couple of inches a couple of times? Or how does that, I know it's hard. There's probably no rhyme or reason anymore, is it?
Well, I can tell you this, Greg. When I was younger, we used to get probably about anywhere between about 26 and 36 inches of average snowfall throughout the winter. Typically, right now, the past five, or let's call it the past three-year average, we've been only been getting about 6 inches of snow of total overall for the whole month. But, you know, just depends on what Mother Nature's doing. Because if we're gonna get our snow, it comes up out of the Gulf. By the time it comes over them Great Lakes and gets down here, it just gets fizzled out by the time it gets on the mountains.
Yeah, it's remarkable to me. As close as you and I are, we're an hour's drive from each other. You have snow, and I'm out here running around with short pants. It's just remarkable that difference.
It can be. It really can.
So.
I've seen it raining here at Gentry Heating in Solano. I can drive 6 miles down the road to Black Mountain, and it'll be snowing.
I guess you're right there, where those mountains kind of funnel, and you're just at the whelm of whatever Mother Nature offers you.
So, yep, I feel like we're gonna have fun this year. It's gonna be a little bit colder, and if the moisture's there, we're probably gonna be building some snowmen and some igloos.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Well, Cole, we're coming up on our time, so I wanted to just tell you thank you for joining us today. I enjoyed learning a little bit more about you and what you do and why you do it, and proud to get to do some of it with you. So thank you for taking time with us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me today, and it's always a great time talking to you, Rick.
Well, for everybody else, Cole Stewart, the production safety manager, logistics specialist, Dr. Phil of Gentry Heating and Service Company in Asheville. I thank the world of you, Cole, and I'm so glad that we get to share some time together. I look forward to seeing you in October, coming up here shortly. I think you're going.
Yes, sir. I'll be
All
there.
right. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And for everybody else, thank you for joining us today. Like any other time, if you want to hear more of this, you can download Straight Outta Crumpton, the podcast, on Apple and Spotify and any other place you get your podcast. Or if you want to go to gregcrumpton.com, there's a tab on there where you can download. I think this is about episode number 125 or thereabout. So we've got a remarkable cast of characters, and today we added a new one. So thank you. Look forward to talking to all of you next time.